Hello and welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life Radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westley Jr. Thanks for joining us today. I do hope that you'll stay tuned. As I always say at the beginning of our program, we've got good things in store for you, and you don't want to miss out on any of this. In fact, today's message is going to be the continuation of a message that was begun in the last broadcast. If you heard program number 261, then this program, which is number 262, is going to be the conclusion and continuation of that message entitled, Come See a Man. If you recall, Pastor Phipps had begun a message that centered around the celebration of ushers at the Palm Bay Church. That's going to continue here in this message today. Before we get into the message, however, here is some music. This is a song entitled Marvelous in Our Eyes, a song rendered by Wintley Phipps.
Stand!
Music by Wintley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard Marvelous in Our Eyes. That's from the CD release entitled Wintley Phipps. That is an older recording of Pastor Phipps, so we reached back into the archives a little bit for that. Still a very beautiful song. Today's message, Come See a Man, Part 2. As I mentioned before, there's going to be very little overlap. Hopefully that won't lose some of you who may not have heard part one of this message, but because of time, we just have to edit it this way. Hope you enjoy the message anyway. I think you will, because there's a lot that Pastor Phipps is going to bring out concerning this title and concerning ushers, which was the reason for the message, that is, as it was presented at the Palm Bay Church. So here is Pastor Phipps, Come See a Man, Part 2.
We've got to recognize we've come here today to praise the Lord, thank the Lord for the work of ushers, but there are so many in the church who are confused about the role of ushers in the church. Now let me make some things perfectly clear. An usher is not a policeman. An usher is not a part of God's Marines, God's police department. An usher is not a disciplinarian. Usher is not there to discipline your kids. Neither is an usher a doormat for rude people to walk all over. It's amazing how members of churches can lose their religion when they come through the door and then blame their bad conduct on an usher. Now, don't get me wrong. An usher is supposed to be polite to everyone always. The Bible says that ushers entertain angels unawares. But if an usher is having a bad day, remember, members, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. If you get upset because of something an usher does, don't sin. In other words, don't lose your religion because the devil has caused someone else to lose theirs. Members have to recognize that it's not always fun being an usher. You have to stand on your feet for long periods of time and watch people, mean people, sit down. You know I'm right. Stand on your feet for long periods and smile at people who won't smile back at you. It's not always fun being an usher. You greet some people at the door and they look at you as if to say, what you looking at? You smile at them and they look at you as if to say, what you so happy about anyway? I've had a bad week. Find me a seat. It's not always easy being an usher. You walk down the aisle with some people and they act as though they don't want your help to find a seat. They act as though they don't need your help to find a seat. It's not always easy being an usher, but then when the church begins to grow, ushers have to deal with members who feel that they own seats. That an angel came along and engraved their name on a seat. You have to deal with people who come to the church, sit in the pews, and camp out like they're having a picnic when you need their seat. I've been to some churches where you ask people to move over and they refuse to move over. I'm just glad that kind of stuff doesn't happen here. Thank you. Believe me, you have to have a whole lot of Jesus in you to be an usher in churches today. But this special day, God is reminding us that the ministry of ushering goes far beyond just meeting and greeting people at the door. The ministry of ushering is really a ministry for everybody in the church. You see, the ministry of ushering is about what the woman at the well did. It's about ushering people into the presence of Jesus. That's the primary role of an usher. The word usher is not just a noun or a title, it's a verb of action. God is calling us to participate. Take seriously this ministry of ushering people into the presence of Jesus. In other words, whenever someone comes through the door of the church, you have to see yourself, whether you've got a uniform on or not, as one beggar telling another beggar, "We got bread here." Whenever someone comes through the door of the church, you got to see it as though, like the woman at the well, you've been given the privilege of ushering that individual into the presence of Jesus. So, are you with me still? We have to shift our way of looking at what it means to be an usher. How do you move ushers from doorkeeping to ushering people into the presence of Jesus? You know, I have a belief. I have a vision that drives me in my ministry. That when I get up to preach, when I get up to sing, that the door opens and two tall angels, as tall as this roof, usher in the Savior and place him on the front row. And when you as an usher are on duty, it is your privilege to usher people into the presence of Jesus. You got to have a close personal devotion and preparation to do that ministry. You yourself must have an encounter with the Lord. Such an encounter that when you greet people, the message on your face and in your voice is the same message that that woman from Samaria gave to the people she knew. Come, come, see a man born of a peasant girl, wrapped in swaddling clothes, cradled in a manger, carried in flight to Egypt, baptized by John in the Jordan, lived in poverty without a pillar to lay his head, walked the dusty streets of Palestine. Come, see a man who cured all manner of diseases without HMOs, copay, or deductibles. Come, see a man who restored withered limbs, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, upset the power structure, turned narrow traditions upside down. Come, see a man betrayed by Judas, given a mock trial at midnight, sentenced to death by an unjust court, carried across to Calvary to save a sin-sick world. His name is Jesus. And today I have the honor of ushering you into his presence. Church, that is what an usher really does. You usher people into the presence of Jesus. Come, see a man who was with the Father before the world began, who was there when the Spirit of God brooded on the face of the deep, in whose presence angels sing praises and seraphims veil their faces, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." This is the work of an usher. You're saying to sinners as you bring them to Jesus, "Come, see a man." Angels are awed by his glory. With his finger, he traced the boundaries of our universe. With his hand, he guides the sun in its appointed course. At night, he strolls among the stars with the moon as a nightlight. Are you listening to me? Come, see a man who promenades through the universe and bathes his feet in stardust. Come see a man who walks upon the sea like a pedestrian crossing a street. Oh, hallelujah, that's what an usher does. With smiles upon your face, you ought to say to every little child, and don't be mean to children, say them, come see a man who measured the length and breadth of the earth, calls every star by name, rides on the wings who can empty every lake and dry up every river. He's awesome. He amazes intellectuals, boggles the sharpest mind. At the age of 12, say to the young people, at the age of 12, he confounded lawyers, mystified doctors, giving them answers too deep for their comprehension. When they said, little boy, how old are you? He answered, well, gentlemen, that depends on what side you mean. If you're talking about my mother's side, I'm only 12 years old. But if you're talking about my father's side, I am from everlasting to everlasting. If you're talking about my mother's side, I'm only 12 years old. But if you're talking about my father's side, before Abraham was, I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If you're talking about my father's side, we have no relatives, no lineage, no family tree. That's what an usher does. An usher has the privilege to invite people to come see a man whose space cannot contain, nor distance stretch beyond, for in him there are no heights, no depths that are beyond him. No philosophy can explain him. Human logic can't contain him. No king on earth is equal to him. No power on earth can dethrone him. No prince on earth can win a battle against him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, he died on Friday, rested in the tomb on Saturday. Hallelujah. But early Sunday morning, he rose up from the grave saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Ushers, that's what you do. You usher people into the presence of a man who grave doors can't hold. Death doesn't frighten him. He's too right to be wrong, somebody said. Too kind to be unjust. When you're in trouble, he's closer than your next breath. Huh? He's too watchful to sleep. When you got a problem, he is the way out and the way over and the way through. So if you're looking for life eternal this morning, allow me, in my own simple, earnest way, to usher you into the presence of the life giver. He is merciful when you fail, hides you with grace when you falter. He lights your way in the darkness. He understands you when no one else wants to. He'll mend your broken heart, protect you from Satan's worst, give you rest when you're weary, calm your fears in the midst of the storm. He sends help when the host of hell assail, catch you when you fall. And this morning, I'm an usher. And it is my honor, my privilege, to usher some of you and welcome all of you into the presence of one who remembers when we forget, one who makes a way out of no way. So welcome today. Into the presence of the Lord. One year, as the children of a church were getting ready for an Easter program, the teacher in charge gave a little four-year-old a short speech. She did that thinking it would be easy for the four-year-old to remember a short speech. But when the little girl went to practice that week, she said to the teacher, Mrs. Foster, I don't like my little speech. Mrs. Foster asked, why? It don't have no Jesus in it. There are people who come to church every week whose lives don't have any Jesus in it. And you as an usher Your role is to invite those people into the presence of Jesus. And before I close, ushers, you never know what God will make of that person that you're ushering. Some time ago, I read a story about a young man named Ted. Ted was a young man who was turned off by school. He was very sloppy in his appearance, very sloppy in his work. I hear somebody saying, stop talking about my child this morning. He was expressionless, unattractive, he was slow. Often he would sit in class, just stare off into space. He was unresponsive, and that irritated his teacher. It's awful when you have to tell a child 3 and 4 and 5 times to do the same thing. Miss Thompson, the teacher, would, when she had to correct his paper, she would bear down hard, place a big red X's beside his wrong answers. If only she had studied Ted's school records more carefully, this is what she would see that they read. First grade, Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade, Ted could do better. Mother seriously ill, receives little help from home. Third grade, Ted is a good boy, but not too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow, but well behaved. Father shows no interest whatsoever. Christmas arrived, the children put their nicely wrapped gifts on the teacher's desk. Ted brought one too. It was wrapped in brown paper, paper bag paper, held together with scotch tape. Miss Thompson opened every gift, and as the children crowded around to watch, out of Ted's package came a little red, gaudy, cheap rhinestone bracelet, half of the stones missing, bottle of half-used cheap perfume. Children began to snicker. Children can be cruel. Miss Thompson silenced the children, splashing some of the perfume on her wrist, and letting them smell it, and she put the bracelet on too, the cheap, ugly bracelet. At the end of the day, after the other children had left, Ted came by the teacher's desk, said, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother, and the bracelet looks pretty on you too. I'm glad you like my presence. That night, Miss Thompson got down on her knees, asked God to forgive her, to change her attitude. The next day, the children were greeted by a changed Miss Thompson. The new Miss Thompson was committed to loving each of the children, because you never know what children will become and where they'll end up one day. Surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, because of Mrs. Thompson's change of attitude, Ted began to show great improvement. He actually caught up with some of the students, passed a few of them in their grades. Graduation came and went. Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted for a long time. She heard nothing. Then one day she received this note. Dear Miss Thompson, I want you to know I'm going to be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted. 4 years later, another note arrived. Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. And I want you to be the first to know the university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted. 4 years later, dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know I'm getting married. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact, and I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Ted. Miss Thompson attended that wedding and sat where Ted's mother would have sat. And as she sat there, she realized that the compassion, the love that she had shown that young man was what entitled her to the privilege of sitting where she sat. Every day, not only ushers, but members who are ushers come in contact with young people. You don't know where they're going, where they'll be, or what they'll become one day, or what they can do on your behalf. Treat them all with respect. Some young people act out of hurt, but as an usher, you can bring healing to the lives of hurting people. Someone here today is saying, I see more clearly today the work of the usher. I didn't realize it was that important. I see it now as a sacred work.
Well, that concludes the message, Come See a Man. And that's about all the time that we have for today's program. Just a couple of things, though, before we actually end the program. First of all, I hope that you enjoyed this message. I certainly did. An interesting approach to the concept of ushers from the Bible story that Pastor Phipps presented here in this message. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church. I'm going to give you the phone number. The phone number is 301-577-6342. You want to ask today for program number 262, which will give you the title, Come See a Man, Part 2. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. And that's program number 262. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings and invite you back to the More Abundant Life again. But until you can join us again, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.